Congregation, boys and girls, did you take Christ at his word this morning? This morning, I try to communicate to you this simple but powerful invitation that Christ has extended to all, to everyone that hears his word. His invitation to you and to me through his word this morning was, come to me. Boys and girls, did you do that? Is that the first thing you did when you came home? First thing you did you go to your room to be alone? To call upon the name of Christ? Or did you already forget it? Congregation, what need for me and for us to examine ourselves is how seriously do we take the Word of God? I tried to explain to you again this morning how simple the words of Christ are, how sincere they are, how urgent they are, how well-meaning they are, that he doesn't just say come, but he says come at once. Come, do not delay. Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Because let me reassure you again that no one will ever be put to shame by this Savior. No one will ever come to him in vain. And so perhaps, boys and girls, maybe you ask your parents. It would have been a good question to ask them. And, well, how do you do that? How do you come to Christ? And of course, we do that in prayer. We can no longer physically go to the Lord Jesus Christ like people did in the days that he walked upon earth. And now, but we can go to him in prayer. We can go to him in all simplicity. And we can simply say, Lord Jesus, I come. I come to thee because thou hast invited me to come. Because thou hast promised in thy word that if I should come unto thee, that thou wouldst in no wise cast me out. Congregation, take him at his word. He means every word of it. But as I pointed out to you this morning, that's only half the story. Because some significant words are added to this invitation. And so let's read again verses 28 through 30. And then with God's help tonight, our focus will be on verses 29 and 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So this morning we had Jesus' invitation to sinners to come to him, but now in the second half of our text, we have Jesus' invitation to sinners now to follow him. So if we put the two together, Jesus is saying, I want you to come to me, but when you come to me, I also want you to follow me. And I will try to explain to you tonight that that's exactly what he is saying in verses 29 and 30. So first of all, we will consider what the nature of that following is. Well, he expresses that by, take my yoke upon you. And I will try to explain to you what he meant by those words. Certainly, the people who heard him in his audience would have immediately understood this figure of speech, and they would have known exactly what he meant. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. And secondly, the benefit of following him. Well, he says, for ye shall find rest unto your souls. Boys and girls, I already pointed out this morning, just remember here that he mentions rest for the second time in this text. If you come to him, you will find rest. But also if you follow this loving command that he gives to every believer, you will find rest for your souls. So that's the benefit of following the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, the incentive for following him. And so he underscores all of that by giving an additional argument for following him. He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." As I will explain when I get there, he's actually saying, my yoke is not a yoke and my burden is not a burden. But I will unfold that when we get there. So, three things. The nature of following him, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The benefit of following him, you will find rest for your souls. And thirdly, the incentive for following him, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So, what figure of speech was Jesus using that his audience would have understood right away? So, I don't know what comes to your mind when you hear about a yoke. So, I'm old enough that when I was still a very young fellow, we would visit a farm, and that farmer still milked his cows by hand. And he still had these cans in which he carried the milk. But to help him carry that burden, to help him carry the milk, he had a special yoke he would put on his shoulders, and then the cans of milk would be connected to it. And this made it a lot easier for him to carry the cans of milk rather than just trying to drag them by hand. So by having a proper yoke on his shoulders that assisted him in doing what he had to do, namely carry the cans of milk. But certainly in the culture of Jesus' days, it was very common to see oxen in the field, two oxen who would be pulling a plow. And those oxen would have a yoke on their shoulder. First of all, that yoke kept the two oxen together, and that yoke also enabled the farmer to control exactly where those oxen were going. Again, that yoke made it possible for these oxen to draw whatever they were drawing, whether it was a wagon or whether it was a plow. Because can you imagine if the farmer would have just wrapped a rope around the neck of those oxen, how impossible it would have been for them to actually pull whatever they were pulling. And so by having a proper yoke placed on their shoulders, it enabled these oxen to do what the master wanted them to do. So in this culture in which Jesus is speaking, the yoke actually became a figure of speech for submitting yourself to the teaching of a rabbi. So if you became a follower of a rabbi, right? And in Israel, the rabbis, they were the special teachers of the word of God. And if you were a good rabbi, you would always have men who followed you. So the fact that Jesus had disciples was not really all that unusual. But when you followed a rabbi, it meant that you would submit yourself to his yoke. That means you would submit yourself to his teaching, and you would show by your behavior and by your actions that you took his teaching seriously. In other words, to make it very simple, just like that yoke would help the oxen stay on track and do what they were supposed to do, by submitting yourself to the teaching of your master, that means you were willing to allow your master's teaching to govern you, to govern everything you did. And when you became a disciple, that meant that you were willingly surrendering yourself to that yoke and to that teaching. And so this is what the Lord Jesus has in mind here when he says, "Take my yoke upon you." And so when we connect it with verse 28, so what Jesus is saying here, not only do I want you to come to me, I want you to come to me as the Savior of sinners. Because I want you to come to me in order to find rest for your souls, in order to find, to obtain the pardon of your sins, in order to be reconciled with God. You can only find rest for your soul by coming to me. But I want more than that. Not only do I want you to come to me, but I also want you to become a follower of me. In other words, what that means, congregation, when Christ saves us, he saves us for a purpose. He saves us not merely to deliver us from sin and from all of its consequences, but he saves us in order that we might become a new creature in him. He saves us in order that as saved sinners, we will again begin to function according to the purpose for which God has created us. And so what is so important about this text that Christ is saying, these two belong inseparably together. A congregation that is really important in our day. There are plenty of people who often very casually and very flippantly profess their faith in Christ, but there is no evidence in their lives that they are followers of Christ. When you see how they live, how they conduct themselves, when you see how many so-called professing Christians have an utter disregard for the Lord's Day, to mention as one example, then somehow there is a very serious disconnect. And what Jesus is teaching us here in a very powerful way, there is no such thing as just coming to him and that's where it ends. No, he says, yes, I want you to come to me. I want you to come to me for your justification. I want you to come to me to obtain the forgiveness of your sins. Because if you come to me, I will save you. I will save you to the uttermost. But as you come to me, I also want you to become my follower. I also am calling you to be my disciple. I want you to take my yoke upon you. So actually sometimes this word yoke here became synonymous almost for a school. So what we could actually say here, Jesus is saying, as you come to me, I also want you to enroll in my school so that in my school I can be your teacher, that in my school I can teach you my word, I can teach you the revealed will of God. Because that's very clear why he wants us to take that yoke upon him, us ourselves. He says, because I want you to learn of me. I want you to become my pupil. I want you to become my student. I want to teach you. I want to teach you who I am. I want to teach you who my Father is. I want to teach you my word. I want to teach you my revealed will. I want to teach you what it means to live a life that honors and that pleases God. And so again, very simply, Jesus is saying, a real believer, someone who has truly come to him, should demonstrate that by the fact that they also become obedient. So those who believe in Jesus are called to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. The congregation, let me ask you again a question. And I have to ask that question myself. Is that invitation also appealing to you? I'm hoping that this morning you were encouraged by this loving invitation of the Savior to come to him. But this invitation to take his yoke upon you, this invitation to submit yourself completely to him and to surrender yourself wholly to his will, is that also your desire? Because congregation, they belong inseparably together. That's why the Bible tells us over and over again that an obedient life is the ultimate evidence that our faith is real, that our faith is genuine. To put it very simply, and I think, boys and girls, this is something you will be able to remember. I've said this before, but let me say it again. That when you come to Jesus, so remember the word come. When you come to Jesus, when you really come to Jesus, you will become like Jesus. Let me say it again. When you come to Jesus, you will also become like Jesus. And so Jesus not only came to save us from our sins, not only so that we, guilty sinners, that we might be justified, but he also came in order that we might be sanctified. In other words, that we would live a godly life, because, as I said before, he saves us for a purpose. He saves us so that as redeemed sinners, we may again begin to function as God created us. And how did God make us? How did God make Adam and Eve? How did Adam and Eve live before they fell? They lived a life of obedience. They showed their love for God, with whom they communed every day. Every day, God came to Adam and Eve, and they came to God, and they had fellowship together. And as a result, they served their Maker. Joyfully, they obeyed him. Now, Jesus is teaching us here in this passage. That's who I am. So that's why I said this morning, there are two sides to this one coin of redemption. Jesus Christ came to save us completely. He came to save us fully. The congregation, anyone who claims they have come to Jesus, anyone who claims that they are a true believer and they're not interested in submitting themselves to his word and to live according to his word and to walk according to his word, they are absolutely contradicting themselves. John, in 1 John 2, makes that very clear. He said, anybody who says they know him and they don't obey him, they are deceiving themselves. So I ask you again, my dear congregation, how does this invitation appeal to you? This invitation of this loving Savior. This Savior, who is a Savior of infinite grace and mercy. This Savior, who is so precious, so altogether lovely, and who is saying in such a loving way, but now I also want you to take my yoke upon you, and I want you to learn of me. I want to be your teacher. And look what he adds as an encouragement. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That in itself is an amazing statement. And I have to grant you, congregation, that that statement all by itself really deserves a sermon all by itself. Because it's the only time in the Gospels that Jesus tells us something about his heart. Listen to what he says. I am meek and lowly in heart. So what Jesus does here, as an incentive to encourage you and me to obey this invitation, to take his yoke upon us, to submit ourselves to him and to his word and to his revealed will, what he gives as an incentive, he says, consider who I am. I who am asking you to be my pupil, to learn of me, to be taught by me. I want you to know that I am meek and lowly in heart. What a beautiful statement that is. A meek person, biblical meekness. Christ exemplified that. What a kind, what a loving, and what a caring man he was. how patient he was. Nothing was ever too much for him. He was not ashamed to be seen with publicans and sinners. He was meek and lowly in heart, in an absolutely perfect way. No man on earth ever was like that. No man ever demonstrated such meekness and lowliness of heart. Meekness is this. In the Beatitudes, it talks about the meek. Blessed are the meek. And blessed are the meek, that means blessed are they for whom God is everything. Blessed are they who live in absolute surrender to God. Blessed are they whose only concern is to please God. And so when it says blessed are the meek, that means blessed are they who see themselves the way God sees us, who are not motivated by what people think, but a truly meek person only has one concern, and that is what God thinks of us. And we know that Jesus was completely preoccupied with doing his Father's will. But as we follow him, as we read the Gospels, how we see this exemplified, what a meek and lowly man he was, how kind he was, how patient he was, how he stooped to the level of those that came to him in need. So Jesus now, as it were, he's saying, I want you to know what kind of teacher I am. This is my character. I want you to know when you come to my school, when you enroll in my school, when you submit yourself and when you desire to be taught by me, I want you to know what kind of a teacher I am. I'm patient. I'm loving. The congregation, what a difference between him and the teachers of the law. They were the opposite. The Pharisees and the scribes, they were proud and they were arrogant. And they were merciless. And they were ruthless. They had no regard. They looked in disdain upon what they considered to be the outcasts of society. People were afraid of them. They were afraid to come near to them. And Jesus is saying, I am the exact opposite. Remember, he is again talking to a people who were laboring and heavy laden, who were groaning under that heavy yoke that the Pharisees imposed upon them, in putting almost unbearable burdens upon them. But here he says, I'm not like that. I'm not that kind of a teacher. I am a loving teacher. I am a caring teacher. I am a patient teacher. Because you know, congregation, one thing that all of the students in that school, and by the grace of God, every believer is enrolled in that school. That's how the Holy Spirit works. When he draws us to Christ, he enrolls us in the school of Christ. We become students of Christ. But you know what all the students have in common in that school? They're all learning disabled. They are all learning disabled. All of the students in the school of Christ, they are so slow. And in that sense, you could say that Christ, what Christ does in his school, he provides his students with special education. And you know, in our schools today, teachers who teach special education, they have to have special gifts. They have to have special graces. They have to be extra kind. They have to be faith. They have to be patient. Because those students often have to be told the same thing over and over again. It sometimes takes a very, very long time before they finally catch on. And dear congregation, that's true for every believer. We are all learning disabled. We are all very slow learners. We all have to be taught the same lesson over and over again. And some things take an entire lifetime before we finally begin to get it. And Jesus is saying, but don't let that concern you. Don't let that concern you. Because I am meek and I am lowly. It's my specialty to train sinners just like you. It is my delight to have you in my school. It is my delight for you to take my yoke upon you. It is my delight for you to sit at my feet and to be taught by me, to be instructed by me, to learn from me, to learn from me who I am, to learn from me who my Father is, to learn from me what it means to honor me and to do my revealed will. And the wonderful thing is that once you are enrolled in that school congregation, you will never be dismissed. You will never be dismissed for poor behavior. You will never be dismissed for missing your assignments. You will never be dismissed for not learning your lessons so very well. No, this Savior, once you're there in that school, he'll keep you there. He will discipline you, just like teachers have to do in love. He will discipline you, especially if you're not learning your lesson very well, especially if he senses that you are not walking according to his will. He will discipline you. He may discipline you several times, because his goal is to make sure that you really take his yoke upon you and learn of him. Now, what this means, and I have no time to unpack it right now, is that the wonderful fruit of that instruction is that slowly but surely we become just like our teacher. That's what happens. In other words, how do we see the progression of Christ's instruction in the life of his people? The longer we are in that school, the longer we sit at the feet of Christ, the more we learn of him, the better we become acquainted with his word, the more we begin to resemble him. In other words, when you are in that school, you become like your teacher, you become Christ-like. That's what it means to grow in grace. We become like the Lord Jesus Christ. The more we learn of him, the more we begin to resemble him, the more we ourselves begin to become meek and lowly. And congregation, that's a miracle, because you and I by nature are not meek and lowly at all. Not at all. The very opposite. But that's what the grace of God makes us. And the longer we interact with the Master, the longer we interact with Jesus, the more we sit at his feet, the more we learn from him, the more we will become like him, meek and lowly in heart. But just like in any other school, it means, of course, congregation, that you have to do your homework. And dear believer, what is your homework? What is your homework in the school of Christ? Well, how do you learn in a regular school? There are books, right? And so, of course, boys and girls, you understand. What is the textbook of this school? What is the textbook of the school of the Lord Jesus Christ? That textbook is his precious word. That's why, congregation, that's our holy obligation. That once we're in that school, we are to take that textbook very, very seriously. Because that's how we learn. That's how we learn who Christ is. That's how we learn more about him. And that brings us really to our second point. Because, congregation, if by the grace of God we do precisely this, if by the grace of God we take this loving invitation, this loving command, if you will, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, if we take that seriously, if we take his word seriously, if we take our homework seriously, we will reap rich benefits. Because for the second time in this passage, he promises rest. What a beautiful thing that is. And you know, in the Bible, when things are said twice, that means they are emphasized. That's how you would emphasize in that culture, by repeating yourself. And so what that means, congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ Dear believer, the Lord Jesus Christ desires your rest. He wants you to experience rest. He wants you to experience rest for your soul by coming to Him, not only once, but as I said, over and over and over again. And why is it that we have to come to Him over and over and over again? Because we continue to sin. But the wonderful thing is, there is a remedy for that. No matter how often we sin, Christ is always saying to you, come to me again. Come to me again. And I will in no wise cast you out. But congregation, in order for us to really benefit from being in this school, from being under His yoke, if you will, that means we need to be in His Word. Our life must revolve around it. That means we need to be in that Word. We need to be in that Word every day. Boys and girls, when you go to school, normally during the school season, you have to go to school every day. Not just once in a while, not here and there, hit and miss. No. If you want to benefit from your education, you need to go to school every day, 5 days a week, week after week, in order for you to benefit from the instruction. And that's exactly how it is in the school of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means, if we are going to experience rest for our souls, we need to be in the Word every day. I've said this many times, congregation, and this is another opportunity. This is not optional for those who are enrolled in that school. We cannot benefit spiritually. We cannot grow spiritually unless we are in that Word. Because by being in the Word, you see, by being in the Word, by being prayerfully in the Word, it is as if we are sitting at the feet of this teacher, as if we are sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what Christ is promising you, He is saying, if you do this, if you learn of me, if you are desirous to learn of me, if you are desirous to be taught by me, I will not disappoint you. That's why, congregation, the devil is always at work in the lives of his people as well to make us so busy that we don't have time for our homework, that we don't have time to be alone with the Savior, that we don't have time to sit at his feet. That's what we're doing when we're opening the scriptures, when prayerfully we open the scriptures. That's why, dear believer, that's why your private devotion, your private time alone with Christ has to be sacred, has to be absolutely sacred. Under no circumstances should you ever compromise there. And again, here we prove where we really are at, congregation, because you and I know very well that we are absolutely brilliant at making time for what really matters to us. We are brilliant at rescheduling and changing our schedule for that which really matters to us. And what I'm saying, this should be non-negotiable for all those who are in that school. Non-negotiable. Because Christ is saying, if you sit at my feet, if you commune with me, if you read my word prayerfully, if you study my word, if you listen to me as I speak to you through my word, I will not disappoint you. You shall find rest unto your souls. And dear believer, you know that that's true. When have been the best times in your life? Think about it. When have been the best times in your life? Is when you walk closely with the Master. When you spend every day alone with Him in praying and reading His precious word. Then our soul will prosper. You see, that's the point Jesus is making. Christ is saying that he has made full provision, congregation. He has made full provision for his children, for his people, to live daily in fellowship and communion with him. Christ is not saying here, you will find rest once in a while. You will have rest maybe here or there. No, it is his desire that you experience that rest every day. Does that mean that you will have no difficulties and you will have no trials? No. But it will mean that when it comes to your personal relationship with him, you will experience that peace and that rest that comes from coming to him again and again and again. And you will experience that peace in your soul by sitting at his blessed feet. And you know from your experience, dear believer, when we begin to slip in this area, when we become careless in our walk, when we don't take our time alone with Christ any more seriously, the result is you are going to lose your rest. You're going to lose your rest. You are going to lose that inner peace. And darkness will descend upon your soul. But Christ is saying, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. And you shall find rest unto your souls. Oh, what a beautiful revelation of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he is. He is the rest giver. The rest giver. And he wants you to find rest by trusting in what he accomplished by his death, by coming unto him. And he wants you to find rest by ordering your life according to his life. And he said, when you do that, you will find rest. You will find rest in your souls, in the inner core of your heart. And so those two belong inseparably together. Because you know, congregation, if by the grace of God, that's what Enoch did. That's what Noah did. That's why it says they walked with God. They walked daily with God. They lived in fellowship with God. They lived in communion with God. That's why God gave the people of Israel the morning and evening sacrifice. He wanted to teach them that in the bloody sacrifice, he had made provision for them to come to him daily to seek forgiveness. He wanted them to know that because of the bloody sacrifice pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they could live in daily communion and fellowship with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ. I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. Then he adds an additional argument. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy. And commentators, all many of them said that this is a very rich word and that the word easy is maybe not the best translation. So in German and in Dutch it says, his yoke is soft. Now I remember way, way back when I was on the farm that I tried to put that yoke on my shoulders. And that yoke was not soft. It was very hard. It was uncomfortable. But he said, this yoke is soft. Another commentator says, it means this yoke is wholesome. You know what Matthew Henry says? He has a beautiful statement. Matthew Henry said, it is a yoke. Listen carefully. It is a yoke that is lined with love. Think about that. It is a yoke that is lined with love. What a beautiful statement that is. That's exactly how it is. That's what Jesus is saying. He is saying, my yoke is not troublesome. My yoke is not, it is not designed to put you in bondage. That's the point I made this morning already. That's what characterized the religion of the Pharisees. It was a religion of bondage. And Christ is saying, my religion is a religion of freedom. My religion is a religion of rest. When you come to me, and when you follow me, and when you sit at my feet, and when you feed upon my word, and when you seek my face, you will experience rest. And you will experience that my yoke, that my will, my teaching will be a delight. That's how it is, congregation. The better we get to know this Savior, the more we commune with him, the more we walk with him, the more it will be our delight to do his will. And you see, that's the fruit of grace. Because ultimately, you see, if by the grace of God we walk in obedience, in other words, when we truly submit ourselves to the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we walk in obedience, we are actually again functioning the way God made us. And that's why the best times in the life of the believer, the happiest times are when they may walk in the pathway of God's commandments. That's when we experience peace and rest. And when we don't, we will lose that peace. And actually what happens, that sometimes believers can backslide so far that even the yoke of the Word of God becomes troublesome to thee. That's how far believers can backslide, until Christ corrects them and brings them back to himself. But when we sit at his feet and when we feed upon his word, oh, that yoke will not be burdensome. Oh, Christ is saying, my yoke is easy. My yoke is lined with love. You know what J.C. Ryle says? Another beautiful statement. He says, his yoke is no more a burden than feathers are to a bird. And so you think of a bird. A bird has the weight of his feathers, but for a bird, those feathers are not a burden. Those feathers are what enables him to fly. Another commentator uses this example and said, just like a ship, especially in those days, could only sail when you hoist the sails, so it is here in the school of Christ. When we daily seek him, daily come apart to be with him, daily feed upon his word, that's like hoisting the sails, and our ship will go, the ship of our Christian walk. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So there are several commentators who point out that what Jesus is saying, when you are a student in my school, that may very well mean that you will run into difficulties, that you will meet with trials. It may even mean that you will be persecuted for my sake. It may very well mean that you will have a cross to bear. And many of God's children do bear a cross. But you know what Jesus is saying? When you stay in sync with me, if I may put it that way, if you daily interact with me, then even your burden will be light. That's why the Apostle Paul called it but a light affliction. That's why Paul and Silas, as you know, that's why they could sing in the middle of the night in that horrible jail with their feet in the stock. They were worshiping God. They were worshiping Christ. Because even there, you see, even in that prison cell, Paul still knew himself to be in the school of his master. And he bore his yoke. And his yoke was easy. And because his yoke was easy, therefore his burden was light. And he was able to sing in the middle of the night. And that's why we know that martyrs went to the stake. Martyrs were thrown to the lions, and they were singing the praises of God. Oh, when you are in my school, Jesus is saying, You will find my yoke not only to be easy, you will find it to be lined with love, but even your burden will be light. As I said at the beginning of the sermon, what Jesus is actually saying, my yoke is not really a yoke, and my burden is not a burden. What he is saying to his disciples, to his people, he said, you will find my service to be a delight. And dear believer, tell me if that's not true. Tell me if you have not found that to be so. That's why I said before, and I say it to myself, when have been the best times in your life? When have been the times where you have really prospered spiritually, where you experienced fresh manifestations of grace, where you received new insights into the Word of God, when you grew in the knowledge of Christ? Was it not when you took your school assignment seriously? When you took your enrollment seriously? When you made sure that every single day, without exception, you were at the feet of this teacher to learn of him? Because that's what he delights to do. And that's what he promises. And you and I, we know that. We have experienced that rest. That rest that we find in him. That rest that we find at his blessed feet. And it's our problem. We are the cause that so often we miss that rest. And we lack that rest. It's not because Christ has not provided. He's making it crystal clear. Everything you need, sinner, everything you need for your soul, everything you need for your salvation, everything you need is to be found in me. And therefore, come to me and follow me. Oh, congregation, what a delightful school this is. And what a delightful teacher. And what a delightful service. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Romans 7:22, oh, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Congregation, can you say that as well? Can I say that? Psalm 119, we sang it together, verses 5 and 6. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. There you have it. The psalmist desires to have respect unto all his commandments. That's the mark of a true believer. The mark of a true believer is that they take every aspect of the revealed will of Christ seriously. A true believer is not hit and miss. Sometimes our lives are, but the desire of a true believer is that in every respect, we live our lives in a manner that honor this Savior. That's it, you see, congregation. That's why the true believer desires to walk in his ways. Because the true believer loves this teacher. They love this teacher. They love this Savior. And that love reveals itself in how we interact with him. That's why Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will honor my word. And so, my dear congregation, in conclusion, what about you? What about me? Christ has spoken to us today. He has given us a double invitation to come to him without money and without price, to come to him with your hard and unrepentant heart, to come to him with the burden of your sin, to come to him with all that testifies against you, to come to him, but also the invitation to stay with him. That's what Jesus means in John 15, abide with me. That's what he is saying. Come to me and stay with me. Stay with me, stay at my feet so that you may learn of me and be instructed by me. Because congregation, if we're not enrolled in this school, if we do not belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, then we know that a dreadful future awaits us. Woe unto those who disregard the loving invitation of this Savior. This Savior who has no pleasure in your death. This Savior who comes so near to you. This Savior who comes to you time and again in His Word to reveal Himself to you, to open His heart to you, to invite you to come to Him. Oh, what will it be for those who have lived under that gospel, who have lived under that invitation, and then to appear before Him, not having responded to it, having turned a deaf ear to that invitation. That's why I asked you, what did you do with what you heard this morning? Did you take that invitation seriously? Did you go and find a place where you could be alone to cry out to this Savior who is so willing and so able to save to the uttermost? And so, congregation, we have preached unto you Christ, of whom the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I ask you, are you well pleased with Him as well? Is there evidence in your life that you love this Christ? Have you come to Him? And are you a follower of Him? Hear His voice, His loving voice that comes to you again once more. And He's saying to you once more, even at this moment, "Sinner, come unto me. And I'll give you rest. And dear believer, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And when you learn of me, you shall find rest unto your souls." Amen.